It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan. Today, I have someone who's really soapy.
I don't have a cocktail.
I know. And you know what? You're drinking coffee. It's a cold day. It's a chilly day. But, you know, and normally
false
we
advertising.
Do. I know. Normally, we do those cocktails. I think what we'll do is we're going to split. Once we kind of get a little bit into the show, we'll run and grab a cocktail. And I think we probably need Irish coffees today because it's so chilly, you know?
Feels great,
I think it'll be good. I have Karen Copeland here today, and Karen is a soap developer, founder, Sammy Soap extraordinaire. I mean, I can't wait to get into this just to kind of find out what makes you tick and how did you create this?
Soap, you know, it's
everyone needs it.
Everybody uses it every day and nobody knows anything about it.
Yeah.
It's so American, right?
We're going to have fun. Tell me about Karen Copeland.
Well, I don't know. What do you want to know?
Where do you hail from? Who are you?
Well, I am a St. Louisan.
Okay.
I was born in the city, so I had the beginning of school down in the West End, and then we went to Ferguson.
Okay.
And then I left, you know, for a number of years, and when I came back when my kids needed kindergarten, you know, when I needed to get into a school district, and went to Orson Woods and ended up in Kirkwood. I've been in Kirkwood for about 20 years. Kirkwood is just like Ferguson. It's a different end of the streetcar spoke.
Right, right.
You know, the houses are the same age. The trees are the same age. It feels the same, very similar. I'm very comfortable there.
You know, and it's funny because I was just talking about that earlier today with Mary Jean Gorse, because Dr. Gorse and her husband, Dr. Miller, they live in Kirkwood. And we were just talking about Ferguson versus Kirkwood. We were just talking about, like, how many of the same homes, the same styles.
Oh. The same garden,
the same
landscapers.
Exactly.
Both places.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I said it was such a shame because, you know, people that live in Ferguson really took some financial hits,
right,
you know, with everything that went on when they were selling their homes. And people that I know, somebody was buying a home going into Ferguson when all the commotion hit. You know, I mean, and Ferguson's bouncing back. Thank God. Thank God it's really bouncing back.
Housing stock.
Wonderful
up there.
Homes. Wonderful homes. And, you know, unfortunately with us, we live on a farm because, well, we love the farm and we love it, but we're out in the country because we have racehorses. And you can't really have horses in your backyard in the city, you know, in any city.
That's great. Well, you're close.
Yeah, so we're just close to everything and it works out well. So you landed in Kirkwood.
Right.
And where'd you go to school?
I went to Mizzou.
Okay.
And then I went to, you know, I did a bunch of different things. I was one of those people that would have just stayed in school forever if I was a trust fund kid.
I think I can tell that about you,
You know, I stayed and took classes that I just couldn't fit in, you know, literature classes or geography classes, cool, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And then when my youngest son is Sam, the Sam of Sammy Soap, born with mental retardation as an attribute. So then I needed to find out about all that because, you know, you don't know anything. So then I went back to school and took the classes that the teachers had to take. So I knew what I was dealing with, you know, back in the day. And then as he started aging through the system, and I, you know, you're all in, you're all about the IEP. And then at some point you realize, well, that's cool and that's fine. And, you know, you get to basically take a load off because you've got the teachers to hand your kid off to.
And an IEP stands for what?
Individual Education Plan.
Okay.
Which is the federally mandated script. But the fact is we're entitled to a free and public education, and after that we're not entitled to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So families really need to lift their eyes up to the horizon, which is really what Sammy Soap was about. We talk a lot about that in the store and in the factory because, you know, you just don't think about these things because you're so busy in the now. you know, we're living our lives.
And you're not even thinking about, okay, now what happens when he ages out and there's no school and there's no teachers and what are we going to do next? And, I mean, you know, Sammy's got another 70 years to live, and so what are we going to do?
Well, and you assume that, you know, we've got this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this has been going on forever. There's a system. Something's in place. He'll be fine. He'll just go into the system because that's what happens in school. You go into the system, and it's basically good. It's fine. I mean, you have individual personality conflicts. It's life, you know, just like everything else. But as a rule, it works. And that is not the fact. After school, after age 21,
everything
falls apart, right?
So tell me first, how many other siblings does Sam have?
Just one other son.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one other kid who's in the Navy.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's living the life. He's a great kid.
And is he younger or older?
He's 18 months older. They're very close.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Living the life is right.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got a baby.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a family of five out there now, so he's doing great.
Good.
He's in the zone.
Well, I will add him to my prayer list because he is helping to serve and protect us.
Yeah,
So, you know, I will add him to my prayer list.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Everybody should work for the government for a few years. That whole Israeli thing, it doesn't have to necessarily be military.
Right.
Like, in an earlier, you know, incarnation of myself, I worked for the Missouri Department of Economic Development in Jeff City.
Okay.
I was the only non-patronage job in my department.
I had the same kind of deal
because interesting.
I worked as a non-patronage position in the state of Illinois in the governor's office running the Prairie State Games.
Well, the boss of my department was Ashcroft's campaign manager.
Oh, okay.
That's the way that goes down.
That how that went. Okay.
Yeah,
and it is. It's funny because I never understood this whole patronage thing and how everybody's part of the CAG and all this. I'm like,
well,
heck,
you gotta get something done, you know? You gotta do something.
I worked outside of all
the
that and just you know, ran the program statewide and raised the money and did what we had to do and didn't think twice about the fact that, you know, who was Republican, who was, I mean, what I did was so, you know, working both sides of the aisle because it was about kids, for crying out loud, kids in sports. How does that become political?
Well,
you know?
And, you know, it was functioning like that for decades until, mid-90s.
And then it just became just so divisive.
Yeah.
And the more divisive, nothing's working.
No, you know? It's obstructionist. When one side is in, the other side just refuses to do anything. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. And, you know, Dominic's our producer today, and you're a young man, and you're going to get to see a lot of this. And unfortunately, you guys are probably going to really reap a lot of the real negative rewards of a lot of this, too, because we're already starting to see that.
Well, I think that, you know, I have every hope in the younger generations. I think we're the ones that messed it up. I really do. I'm like, every man over the age of, 60 needs to go away. And every woman over the age of, you know, 70.
Uh-huh.
I mean, give it up to these young people. They've got better ideas about how to solve today's problems, and they've got more vigor to move us forward.
See, it is funny because I look at them thinking, oh, all these millennials, it's like, oh, for God's sake, they all feel so entitled. And I don't feel that
you did it.
Yeah, but I didn't. We didn't. Our kids had to work. Our kids had to pull weeds in the whole bit. You know, I mean, I just don't get that where they don't think that they have to work as hard as we've all had to. You know, I mean, you and I had to work hard.
Yeah.
We're still working.
You know, you see it just in your little immediate microcosms. Mm-hmm. You know, you look around to your family and your friends, and the ones who had it too easy are the ones that struggle. And the ones that had to work for it learned how to work early.
And that's exactly it. And I want everyone to have a work ethic. You know, don't you think? Just nod your head, Dominic. What do you think? You need to work hard? Okay, good. Yes, he's nodding his head.
I think it's even more than that. I think the secret to life is understanding that work is fun.
Well, look what you're doing.
Find something that you like to do.
Aren't you enjoying?
And then it's not work.
Aren't you enjoying what you're doing right now?
I do. I think that. I think that happiness is about doing what matters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can figure that out for yourself.
Exactly. I mean, my degree's in accounting.
It's a win-win.
But it doesn't mean I use it every day, but it's a backbone of everything that I touch and do.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean I'm sitting there and that I'm being a tax accountant, because God loved tax accountants, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
But everything I've done has always been something very enjoyable, so that I don't get up thinking, oh my God, I got to go to work. I get up thinking, ooh, great, what have I got today? You know, and
You
know, my whole chocolate factory's like
that.
You know, so.
And I think you're born with your chemistry. I do. And yeah. I also think you exercise it like a muscle. So I was lucky because my mom and dad worked for fun. And all my dad and all of his brothers worked for fun. And they could do everything.
What'd they do? What'd your dad do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he was a traffic manager for Hamilton Shoe Company downtown for 41 years.
Oh, wow.
He was a generation that came from the farm and went to the city. I always say it was folks like my parents that ruined St. Louis for the rich folks. So they moved into the West End. So there was somebody in mom's family, one of her brothers had multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
So they had a beautiful farm down on the Gasconade in Pulaski County.
Okay.
They founded the town of Swedeburg.
Hmm.
You know, delivery station, deliveries, bank, general store, Swedeburg was the name of the town.
And where is Swedeburg? Tell me.
It's Pulaski County. It's down by Crocker, Waynesville, Richland.
Okay. I do know where that is. Okay.
Yeah. It's right down by Fort Leonard Wood.
Okay.
So when he was diagnosed, they bought a house in the West End in McPherson.
Okay.
And, you know, the depression
right.
had happened just recently. The people on the farm were okay because they had...
They had continuous work, they had continuous income. Yeah,
and everybody was poor, so they had property.
But they had property, you know, and
they had food. They didn't have investments.
Yeah.
They had property.
Yeah.
So anyway, they bought this house, and then they turned it into a boarding house. So they were surrounded by St. Louis's elite, the wealthiest people.
Yeah.
And who were poor now.
Right.
So they were well-bred and they were well-educated, but they had no resources.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these people from the country came up in their overalls and people would come up every weekend and party, you know. And then, so the rich people, of course, they just, as fast
they
as
had
they
to
could,
vacate.
They jumped across the park and founded Ledoux.
Gosh.
Right, to get away from us.
Okay. And you guys hung out in the West End. Yeah.
And we were fine. Yeah. And it all worked out.
Oh, jeez. Well, tell me more about Sammy now. Okay, so Sammy was born with mental retardation.
Right.
Okay,
so you get into
that
the system.
That had to be just devastating for you in the beginning.
I'm just thinking with chemistry.
I'm just thinking it had to be for the fact kind of going, oh, now what do we do? What do I do? What do I learn? How do I figure this out? How do I help him? I mean, that's what I'm saying as far as devastating. I mean, or did you go, okay, great, this is an adventure. You didn't do that.
Well, no, but you just one foot in front of the other.
Right.
I mean, it's no different than your doctor saying, oh, you know, you might need to get that cataract surgery in a couple of years, or you're going to need glasses in a couple of years, or maybe it's time for your kid to get braces. It just happens. You know, like this happens. He wasn't performing sort of, you know, 3 months, 6 months. And so by 6 months, we were in programs.
Really?
Off we went. Oh, yeah.
In 6 months?
Yeah.
See, I was thinking it probably would have been much later before, you know,
there's all sorts of pediatric OT and PT and speech. You're all in way before kindergarten.
How old is he?
He's 27 now.
Okay. My husband and I have a 27-year-old and a 26-year-old. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Sam is the happiest, moist, joy-filled person you'll ever meet.
Yeah, have a care in the world, probably.
I mean, he doesn't even reference it. It was really cool growing up with somebody like him. And when I say growing up, I'm talking about when I was growing up between the ages of 30 and 40 or 30 and 50.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because we're always growing up. We just keep growing up our whole lives.
Did you know that, Dominic? Because we might look like we're growing up, but we're still growing up, okay? I just want to make sure you recognize that, okay?
It's not a finished product.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But I would have a hard day at the office or something for whatever reason.
Where were you working then?
I went to work for Famous Bar.
Okay.
So I was in the advertising department at Famous.
Did you know Mary Franzek?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
I didn't start until 96. I was 36 years old, so I had a couple of jobs first. But I was at home with my kids for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally, again, when the school thing started, I needed to come back. So I would come home, and if I was out of sorts, if I was impatient or just not bubbly or happy, he would look at me. He was so puzzled. He wasn't scared. He wasn't confused. He was just bewildered. It was like, what, you know, he was trying to figure it out. And it was so interesting. it was so obvious, and it would make me laugh, and it would just pull me back to what was important. And it's really cool having that mirror. It changes you for the better in a big way.
Good for you. Well, yeah. So everything, I mean, I look at you and I think, God, I know that you are just like uber, uber positive. And, you know, I mean, it's.
Well, that's chemistry.
Well, you're right. That's just it. I mean, I've always looked at everything as the glass is half full. And if anything, it's overflowing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do that. I think, and I don't have any sort of a practice or any kind
Excuse
of that
me.
Stuff. I mean, I've been through all those things in my 20s.
Right.
But, you know, when I'm in the shower, taking a hot shower, I think to myself, oh, my gosh, we're so lucky.
I know.
We have this hot shower.
Hot shower that you can just
so
stand
fabulous.
Under, you know. And now there's Sammy's soaps that make it even much more glorious. You know, they're glorious and refreshing. And, you know, just you feel rich just with your soap.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so true. Well, soap is sort of the gateway skincare, again, because everybody uses it every day. And some women are in the habit of using cosmetics regularly, too. But everybody, when they start with soap, they go through all the trials and sample all different kinds of soap. And we use 20 different emollients, and we use dozens of different essential oils. And we have about 100 soaps. And
oh my
some
gosh.
Of them do things, and some of them are just blended for pleasure. But there's your skin is completely permeable, you know. So many more toxins are consumed through skin than mouth, and nobody really owns that, thinks about it.
Let me feel your hands.
Oh, I'm a gardener.
Oh, but feel how soft they feel.
Those are working
feel
person's
how
soft
hands. They
I'm not a delicate
feel.
Person.
Yeah, but they still feel soft. Mine don't feel like that at all,
yeah.
You know?
Well, if you're using any sort of... Yeah, okay, so here's the skinny on the soap.
Till the next segment, just because I'd like to be able to kind of start with that. So let's just, at this point, let's stop. We'll have a few folks say some wonderful things about KFNS 590 The Fan, about Cocktails and Conversation, and their products. I'm sure we'll have something here about McDonald's as well, and the Archways to Opportunity. This is Maureen Moore here with Karen Copeland for Sammy's Soaps here on Cocktails and Conversation. We'll be right back.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we're back. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation, and I'm here today with Karen Copeland, the founder of Sammy's Soaps, right in Kirkwood. She is a wealth of information. I can't wait to really kind of find out how the heck, God bless you, Annie. We've got Annie in the studio today, too. And, you know, we're on 590 The Fan. You can hear us anytime by podcast by just pulling up the website, which is 590thefan.com, and you can check out Cocktails and Conversation. Again, this is Maureen Moore, and I'm here with Karen Copeland today. So, Karen, fill me in on... Okay, first, what is it that made you decide, you know, here you were at Famous Bar in advertising, you stay home then, you know, I mean, and then think, okay, now, what am I going to do for my next encore? And it's soaps. So tell me, how did you go from Mizzou to Department of Economic Community Affairs to, you know, to... Famous Bar to now knowing how, I mean, I wouldn't even know how to make soap. I mean, how did you find
soap
this out?
Soap is super easy to make. It's not very much different than making icing on top of the stove. So it's not a complicated process. It's a very expensive pantry, and it's a little dangerous. You have to know what you're doing. But
you could blow up things?
Well, it's the lye is dangerous. It'll burn your skin.
Okay.
You know.
So there still is lye in soap?
That's what soap is. Real soap is lye.
Oh, okay.
Real soap is made of lye. What happens is it's an alchemy between lye and oil. So it's any kind of fat or oil. So it could be a rabbit over the fire and you use the wood ash with all the grease, right? Or it could be a lard, like grandma's soap, lard or animal tallow, all that old-fashioned stuff. Okay. Now it's a food-grade vegetable oil. But the process is the same. And it's a cold process between the lye and the fat. They touch. They start a saponification process that converts the lye and the oil into glycerin. So the lye goes away, and it becomes glycerin.
Oh, okay. Because you had me thinking the whole time, my gosh, all the soap has lye in it. And I always thought that was, like, so horrible.
No,
so it's a compound that actually then goes away.
Right.
When you mix everything. Okay.
Right. It becomes the third. The two things become a third thing.
Okay.
Right. And glycerin is food grade. It's very good for you. So all the ingredients that we use are made of the same vitamins, minerals, and amino acids as we are. So we're not introducing anything foreign. It's 100% plant-based. There's a very few exceptions. We use some ground pumice, in a pumice bar, which is a volcanic pumice. And we use some clay. But everything else is vegetables. Basically, or grains, some sort of a plant.
So, like oatmeal soap, all those different, when you have different issues.
You know that line in Target or Walgreens called Divino?
Yes.
So that's just like an old-fashioned detergent that they put oatmeal in. So,
okay.
Because oat is so soothing. Remember the oatmeal bath when we were kids?
Oh, yeah.
I remember them putting oatmeal in a stocking and laying it on my poison ivy.
Exactly.
So oatmeal has lots of natural antihistamine. So if you have eczema or psoriasis or any of those itchy skin conditions, it's very soothing.
Okay.
And also balances skin's pH. Plus, there's lots of exfoliating that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think they have dry skin when really they just need to be exfoliated.
That's what I call when I get a sunburn.
You know, all that dust all over the house, that's you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, get it off in the shower.
And I just always go, okay, I got my burn for the year, and all of a sudden everything peels off. Oh, I've just exfoliated,
you know? Yeah, just like a snake.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we use fine, medium, and coarsely ground soap. So a lot of the rough soaps, they actually just, they feel good. It's like a little massage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're massaging yourself.
So again, tell me though, what all of a sudden made you think, let's create soap? I mean, you have to understand things much more chemically than somebody that, that's creating, I don't care what you say, making icing on the stove.
It was the convergence of all these ideas that are my personality.
Okay.
So when I'm always been sort of altruistically oriented. When I was a textiles major at Mizzou. And I used to think, oh, we could go to Africa and make blankets and sell. You know how if you go to the groovy coastal towns in Southern California, they, you walk into these.
Haight Ashbury.
Well,
you probably would have liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 You know, you walk into all of these tourist stores and they have really interesting artisan offerings.
Right.
You know, for people who can afford a $3,000 blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're out there. So anyway, so I wanted to do something that was worth my time, and I wanted to do something that was good for the planet and good for people. So here's the skinny on the soap. Soap had been made the same way for thousands of years, this fat or oil and lye.
Okay.
So lye is naturally occurring. It's like sulfur or salt. It's just out in the world.
Okay.
So somebody figured out, it drained down together and it started bubbling and they go, oh, this is soap. Right. Soap is designed to lift, creates the bubble. It lifts it off
your
skin
the dirt
and then
off
it can just
you.
Wash
yes.
it away.
Right.
Well, during the First World War, they discovered that glycerin stabilized explosives.
Really?
Yeah. Before that, it was liquid nitro. Remember the war wagon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when everybody's
right,
so worried. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was very hard to deal with, dangerous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they commissioned all the giant soap manufacturers in the country, a couple of them, to use their glycerin. So they repurposed the industrial degreasers. They put the detergents into the soap. Took the glycerin out, put the detergents in, and never reversed themselves. They had these really lucrative secondary markets for the glycerin. They were building the bridges and the dams and the canals, right?
Right.
So they just kept rolling with the detergent soap, and they invented the line extensions, the moisturizers, because they were stripping us every day.
Right. So that's just it.
And
so now all of a sudden they needed that to complement and supplement.
Then the man in the gray flannel suit came in the 50s and we're still rolling with the same advertisements then. You know, like, oh, that soap scum. You know, give me a break. Yeah. Soap scum. I clean my tub like once a year. It's just so not an issue. You know, it's like all the advertising. They say the oily T-zone. I'm going, okay, your body has made some oil for you. It's custom made for you. That's liquid gold.
Quit wiping it away. Spread it around. That's right. Quit wiping it away. Spread it.
Right. Yeah. That's not creating the problem. Right. Right. There's no bacteria in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we've just been assaulted with all this advertising, and we pretend that it doesn't affect us.
The girl that came from Famous Bar and Advertising. I just want to make sure that we were assaulted. I just want to make sure we say that right, that you were assaulted by that. Just that's
well,
good.
Okay. You know, I'm saying it's there's value and there's value. So it's great to use products. Is it really worth, you know, getting cancer in your 50s or 60s?
Yeah.
Look at it this way. All the ingredients that are in the soaps that are sold in big boxes all over and cosmetic counters.
Just think of all that.
They've
all
been outlawed in Europe for decades.
Just think of the chemicals that are in those. So and the then rest, you're letting those all seep into your system.
Right. The rest of the world that has national health care and they're incentivized to have healthy citizens, right? So they actually tested the chemicals. They test the ingredients. There's a concept. You know, we used to have consumer protections here.
Now
we,
it's all just run by big pharma.
Yeah, we decided we didn't want to know. It's kind of like cigarettes 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Not in this quantity.
Yeah,
it
don't worry.
Don't worry
that's
about
a, no
it.
Big deal. Yeah.
So we
yeah.
teach the four stages of corporate deniability instead of just testing products and outlawing them for consumer end use if they're dangerous for us.
So, again, why was it soap?
Well, because everybody uses it every day. It's super simple to understand. It's easy to make. And it's something that can be sold on Main Street, just like this cup of coffee I have in my hand right now.
So did you start out at home with it? Or where did you start?
Yeah, we were making soap in the basement the whole first year, building our inventory.
And who was it? Who was doing this with you?
Well, me and my soap maker, Chris. So I hired a soap maker who really knew soap.
Okay.
Yeah. He'd been making soap for about 5 years already. So he knew soap. And soap is, you know, when you're making soap, it's kind of like your chocolate company.
Right.
You know, you're going to have, you know, it's like an ice cream. You're going to have vanilla. You're going to have chocolate. So everybody has the same stuff. And then we use a lot of higher end stuff. So we have more soaps than most people that have a lavender and a rosemary and a, you know, a lemon. We have 100 soaps. So we're able to get into the sexy kind of more expensive.
That's what we do with the chocolate too.
Exactly.
Like, oh yeah, today let's add this to it. You know, and I've got a chocolatier that's phenomenal. And she'll come out and she'll just walk out with like a little tray and go, okay, everybody try this. Because I don't know half the time what she's making in the back in the production facility. And she'll come out and she'll go, try this. And I'm allergic to chocolate, so I have to just do a little tidbit every time.
Oh, wow. What a bummer.
Yeah, it is. But thank God, because I'd probably be as big as the studio if I didn't, because I do love it. So, you know, but over at Saddleback Chocolates, she'll come out with something. I'll be like, oh, my gosh, that's so good.
And you remember when they were putting pepper in the chocolate for the first time? I knew they'd been doing it in Latin America forever.
Right. Yeah.
But here it was revolutionary. And then the sea salt, it's like, yeah. Because what were we doing? We were doing it ourselves. We'd have a handful of sunflower seeds and then a handful of chocolate.
Yeah.
And nobody thought to put
nobody
the
thought
two
to mix it
well,
together.
It's the same thing with the soap formulas. Yeah. You know, it's about just putting interesting things together.
So now how did Sammy get, like, to the point where he got involved and said, this is something I want to do?
Well, when Sam graduated from high school, he graduated to an Alzheimer's unit. So this is the familiar story.
Wait,
it's out there.
To an Alzheimer's unit?
Yeah.
Why? That's, to an Alzheimer's unit? What the heck is that all about?
Okay, this is about the powers to be working their way through the system. So, you know, they started in Washington, D.C., and they went after, you know, energy, and they went after transportation and a lot of the big departments. And then they were twisting their mustaches and going, okay, who else is writing lots of checks? Oh, social services at the state level. You know, so they changed the language in 2013 to intellectual and developmental disabilities. Okay.
Intellectual and develop. Okay.
Okay. So this
think
is
that
the,
one through.
Right. This is the APA. They changed the language legally so that they could roll intellectual disabilities into dementia. And services under all under one big for-profit medical model.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So this was the first year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting because the people in the industry knew about it, and they were saying, you know, and Sam didn't graduate till he was 21, and I'd hear something like, well, maybe you should take him out early because they're changing this, and maybe he can get under the wire, you know, and I'm like, no, you know, I don't want to take any shortcuts. I want to just do this straight up the middle. Let's just do it and see what it is, and that's what it was. So he was deemed ineligible for competitive employment, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then... and so he was. He got a Delta health care, and he also got a personal care assistant. So in this world, it's called readiness programming, and they have lots of classes to get you ready for your first job, and they have lots of classes and people and helpers to get you ready for your first apartment. And, you know, it's like, Dominic, how many classes did you have before you got ready for your first job? Well, I mean, you probably have a college degree. I guess that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
These are classes about how to interview and how to fill out a thing. And, you know, it's just what I found is that if it was required because it was the social standard, like, Sam, you can't go to work without brushing your teeth. Then all of a sudden, he was brushing his teeth. He was self-motivated, just like we would be.
Yeah. Because you know, he wanted to work. He wanted to get out there.
He wanted
to be with everyone else and be the same as everyone else.
Yes. He wants friends. And he knows that if he's gross and ugly looking, people aren't going to want to look at him in the face. His smile has to be pretty, you know, at least clean. So anyway, you know, Sam needed to be part. He needed something to do. And if I was going to do it for one, I might as well do it for 30 or 300 or 3,000. I mean, I think there should be a Sammy Soap in on every main street across the country.
Are you going to franchise it?
I don't know. We don't know how we're going to grow yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite sure. Right now we're selling wholesale, we're selling online, and we've got the brick and mortar.
Okay. And so we should tell everybody this. I mean, we've got a long time yet in this show, but we should tell everybody your address now so that somebody, if they're not hearing us through the whole show, they know.
We're on Argonne in downtown Kirkwood, 123 West Argonne in Kirkwood, Missouri, right across from the train station. You can't miss us.
I flew by you today when I was coming into the station.
Yeah, we got really lucky with our real estate.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a great spot.
So do you have a lot of walk-in? Do you have a lot of walk-in clientele?
We do, okay. Yeah. We're surrounded by really popular bars and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're also a killer gift store. So we make the soap, and more people have problems. I mean, people have skin problems.
Right, right.
They've got even more serious problems. They've got cancer or something. I mean, they've got problems, and they're fed up with being lied to and tricked, and they just want something straight. They want to know what's in the products. There's so many more toxins that are consumed through skin than through mouth.
Well, so, and with knowing that, I mean, you've got to have so many different choices as far as like, okay, I don't sleep well, so is it my soap? You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that for me because I could sleep standing up. But, you know, are there soaps that are better for people if they're having a hard time sleeping?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I would think.
Absolutely.
You know, something to just kind of calm their body.
In the first segment, I was talking about everybody starts with soap. It's sort of the gateway product.
Right.
And then, so I'm to the point now, years into it, where the soaps I use I have an acne bar. I secretly hate that name but it just writes every wrong. It's a strong antibacterial from three continents. It's Indian neem, Australian tea tree, and American golden seal with oat. And it just, no matter what's going down, you know, if you're out spreading manure or if you're vacuuming or heaven forbid you go to sleep and you're dirty or, you know, blah, your pillowcase is filthy.
Right.
You know, you're wearing the same hat over and over again, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
It just fixes you. And then I have a pumice soap that I use whenever I'm out. If I'm out in the country, you know, or if I'm weeding, or if I'm exposed to...
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like with the, you know, with the poison ivies and all that,
All of the plant oils, ticks, chiggers, mosquito bites,
so you've got something that's good for that.
Absolutely.
See, that's great because, you know, I mean, it's funny, we... you know, because we're out in the country, so we have all that.
Sure.
My way of handling it a lot of times is, okay, then get into the pool, turn up the chlorine, get into the pool, and literally kind of scrub myself down in the pool so that hopefully it'll stop the spreading of all that oil.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the best thing to do. You just got to get the oil off, friction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just get in there and
get
it off.
Get in there and get it off, yeah.
And then I have a mosquito bar that I use every day.
Oh, really?
All year, you know, every day, every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my go-to because I'm in the garden all the time.
Well, there's some stuff I'm going to have to pick up from you, but we're going to do this right now. Dominic, we're going to probably go ahead and go back to break and say thanks to all of our sponsors. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation here with Karen Copeland today, the founder of Sammy's Soap. We'll be back in a second on 590 The Fan. So raise your glass if you are.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we're back. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan. You can always catch our podcasts on our 590thefan.com so that you can listen to us anytime. How about that you'd like to be able to hear me anytime, anywhere, you know? But we are on on Saturdays, 2 to 3 p.m., and then again a replay 7 a.m. in the morning on Sundays for those people that want to get up early on Sunday. And today our very special guest is, you know, a woman that has figured out not only a need but a game plan and a strategy and is doing wonderful things winning with that. And that's Karen Copeland here from Sammy's Soaps. She founded the company. How old is the company now, Karen?
5 years old. We've been open for 4.
Okay, so they've been open for 4. And let's say your address again while people are thinking about it.
123 West Argonne in downtown Kirkwood.
So, and it's perfect real estate because it's a really neat brick and mortar store. You can go in there, you can find everything from gift baskets, or not gift baskets, but gifts for baskets, shower gifts, then all the special needs that you have, whether you have, you know, some kind of a skin condition or you just want to smell good, you know? She has all these different options for you. And this is named for her son, Sam, and it's Sammy Soaps. And Sam has been the reason for her to generate this entire store. And you're single. I mean, you've been mm-hmm. a single mom for what, 24, 25 years now?
25 years.
You know, yeah. Raising 2 boys, you
right.
know? So,
right.
you know, you had to figure out something and make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And so this sounds like it's the perfect, you know, the perfect condition for a you know, something that everyone needs.
I'm very lucky. You know, mm-hmm. we live down the street. So when you have somebody like Sam in your family, you know, you're shopping principles and then buying your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works.
Right.
You know, you've
right.
got this team around you if you're lucky, you know, parents or whoever your helpers are, siblings.
Right.
And you're looking for pedestrian, and you're looking for safe, and you're looking for public transit. And we're right there by Merrimack Community College, so we have that in case you've got a bus or girl
yep.
or boy, you know.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, we got lucky.
So tell me, like, people can walk into the store. Stores open daily?
Stores open 7 days a week.
God, love you.
We have extended hours. We're open till 6 p.m., Monday and Tuesday, and then starting Wednesday, we're open until 8 the
okay.
rest of the week.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, people need to be able to shop. Everybody's working, so you've
right.
got to be able to accommodate them. So we've won the best gift store in St. Louis by the readers of St. Louis Magazine every year since we've opened.
And the cool thing is it's not because you're buying buku advertising
no,
in St. Louis
not
Magazine.
At all.
It's because
not
people love you, want you, and they want you to succeed, and they're voting for you.
It's all word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019.
Congratulations.
So the difference for us is that we've created an experiential space. So how do you compete with Prime?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So the factory is open. Whenever we're open, the factory's open, unless our soap maker is off. So on Wednesdays and Sundays, the factories are closed because everybody deserves a couple days
right.
off.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
Otherwise, people can go back into the factory. So it's a really fun thing for kids to do. Kids don't go into factories anymore.
So they can go in and actually do something, or they get to just watch?
No, they're watching Chris, and then they're also playing. So the thing
okay.
about making soap is there's all this prep work and all this cleanup and in between a little soap making.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can call the store and schedule a tour,
mm-hmm.
and then we wait and we're we wait for you that day, and we're blending and doing the sexy part. Otherwise, you're just walking into whatever we happen to be making, whatever we happen to be doing. But there's a kids' cutting table, and kids can always cut soap for free for their bath that night. And Chris, our soap maker, is he can talk to toddlers, and he can talk to PhD chemists.
Wow.
He's a wealth of information. So the pantry is out for people to see. They get to talk about commercial mass market product versus our product. What is the difference? Why is ours different? Why would you be interested in buying a 100% natural product?
Because it is all natural.
It's 100%. Yeah. Because it can be all natural and 5% junk. It can be organic and 20% junk.
Right.
So it's kind of like bread back in the day when you'd flip it over for the first time and read the ingredient list and you were looking for the words together. 100% whole grain. That's the way it is with these product categories now. 100% all natural. Because, I mean, you know, you wouldn't believe
what's allowed.
Well,
it's like my chocolate. That's just it. Our chocolate, 100% all natural, you know.
Right.
And with our Kismet, which is our CBD infused, it's 100% full spectrum. You know, it's 100%. It's not 10% and then, you know, 90% of everything else in filler. It's literally 100%. And I believe in that. That's why I think it's so cool with you having this store.
Well, and that's,
you know?
Well, that's
and
what
this
we're
mission.
We're constantly explaining that, too, because people don't understand it. It's very confusing. There's lots of language that's allowed on a label that confuses people. For instance, when you see the word fragrance, you know that it's synthetic. So in FDA speak, fragrance is proprietary. They're not required to disclose. So there can be 100 things behind that word. And as consumers have become more and more sophisticated, they're walking around with chemical of concern watch lists because they understand that most of the toxins they consume are through skin.
And the thing is, fragrance, all of a sudden, it's like, so what are the 92 items of chemicals that are in there that all of a sudden make it smell like lilac compared to being 100% pure lilac?
Right. And that's why fragrance has gotten more and more toxic these last 15 years. It irritates more people because it's become increasingly, you know,
it's chemicals.
Sickening. Yeah.
It's chemicals.
Well, it's bad chemicals. I mean, there's chemicals and then there's chemicals. Some things are fine and other things are not good for us. But the rest of the world, again, has outlawed these chemicals, the ones that are bad for us. And so the thing about aromatherapy, just generally speaking, it's a completely legitimate medical model in Europe. Here it came up through the gift trade. Everybody thinks it's new agey. But this is the basis for all pharmacology, our ingredients.
So how do you get... So how do you create, like, lemon-scented soap in Sammy's soap? How do you do that? I mean, are you actually using the zest of a of a lemon?
Yeah. You can use lemon peel. You can use lemon oil. You can use lemon verbena. You can use... In fact, lemon comes in about 5 different ways, and we use it a lot of different ways.
Oh, because it would be so exhilarating. I mean, that is one where it just really kind of wakes up your whole body and all your senses.
Yeah. And everybody uses... Everybody responds differently. It's very much more like a grocery store than a cosmetic counter.
Okay.
Once you get into this world, you were saying earlier about how some soaps would relax you and other ones stimulate you. That's very true. There's no question. However, it'll be different for person A than for person B. I mean, you could if somebody comes in and they say, "I've got attention deficit disorder, or my dogs are so hyperactive. Is there anything you can help me just calm the house down?"
Right.
And, you know, certainly we can start with cedars and vetivers and lavenders and all those sort of familiar lower sort of base notes.
Okay.
But people respond differently to them. So here's a for instance. I did this beautiful frankincense blend. It was frank and vetiver and black pepper and a little lavender. And I went to market. I was by myself. I was in the booth all day on my feet. And I'd go back to the hotel room and spread a towel under my feet and rub my feet while I was watching a movie. And after 4 days of this, I went back home and I said, "Oh, my gosh, this is a fabulous blend. This is a home run." And somebody who was working for me at the time, who had been in a car wreck and had migraines because her back and her neck were messed up, she was addicted to the ubiquitous tension release formula, which is peppermint and lavender.
Okay.
That's what if you've got migraines or allergies, headaches, any of that kind of stuff. If you have trouble, she would lather herself every night before she went to bed.
Okay.
And she was so addicted, she would reapply it if she got up in the middle of the night. And after this glow, and it was another one of the blends. I'd made four together. That was one of them, and then the Frank was the second one. So after her glowing testimonial, I took that blend home and tried it that night. And I was like, zing, I was wide awake.
You were wired for sound. And here, this is something that calmed her down.
I had to go wash it off. And she was using it as a sleep aid.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. And that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. It's kind of like the weather changes and you went chilly for the first time. You know, you want something different to eat in January than you want in July.
Exactly. Yeah,
It's chemistry.
Yeah. Well, this is so great because this is so much knowledge. And at the same time, it makes sense.
It totally makes sense,
you know?
Yes.
And now, does Sam have to work every day?
Sam is everywhere. I can't keep him home. He's at the YMCA right now.
Okay.
And he works at Jimmy John's, and he works at Billy G's as a greeter, and he works at Sammy Soap.
That kid is all over town.
That kid
is awesome, you know, because he wants to work and he's energized and you know, you've given him the base to understand what it is to work and to earn a paycheck, be able to take care of himself.
Right, right.
That is just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And he just migrates to these places where they have lots of kids his age, you know, so there are people under the age of 30. Most of them are still students.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's interesting. And we'll see how it works as he ages. But right now it's completely age appropriate. And he's making his own friendships completely organically. They have nothing to do with me. I'm not facilitating anything. He's just on his own. These jobs, Sammy Soap is the only job I gave him. Everything else he's done on his own.
And at the same time, he's not saying to you, now, Mom, you know, in about 5 years, we'll move you into ex officio, you know, because I will be taking over the company. He hasn't done that yet, right?
No.
He's still respecting your position there and allowing you to be founder.
Well,
I would say
this, like any other 27-year-old son, you know, he straight-armed me about 5 years ago. He doesn't want to be around a bunch of old women. He wants to be around young men.
Our 26-year-old, he's like, you know, I'm an adult. I'm an adult, Mom. I'm an adult. I go, yeah.
Some things never change.
I hear that, you know.
And again, back to chemistry. You know, we are who we are.
We are, and that's just it. And sometimes it turns out to be fascinating, which is what you are.
Yeah,
and what
well,
we say,
you.
Karen, thank you so much, because what we say, you know, is on Cocktails and Coffee. You know what? We never did go get our cocktail.
Well, this is better.
Shoot.
It's a natural high.
Oh, yeah, it is. But I'm without, so that's not a good thing. But, you know, on Cocktails and Conversation, we say, you know, women, strong women, may we know them.
Yeah.
Obviously, Karen Copeland.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
May we be
right
them.
Right back at
obviously,
you.
Karen Copeland. May we raise them. Well, you didn't raise any girls, but you raised two good boys. And may we praise them. So today, Karen Copeland, we're praising you, founder of Sammy Soap, you know, queen extraordinaire of what it is to have 100 different soaps and all
Thank
handmade
you.
Right
Bring
here in
all
Kirkwood.
You women, come in and let us show you what
well, it'd
we
be
do.
Great. It'd be great gifts. I mean, I'm already thinking I'll work with you wholesale and create gift baskets with your products, with all your different soaps, with our Saddleback chocolates and our Kismet chocolate.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
My gosh.
We do a ton of girls' night out, too.
Do you?
It's a great place to come. Bring your wine, and we'll show you soap and teach you how it's done, and you can shop and have a good time.
Oh, that'll be great. My dear friend Laura Herring is heading up the Belizean Grove conference that's coming here in September, and Saddleback Chocolates is part of that. We'll create something for the swag bags with that.
Oh, how interesting.
Okay?
Yeah.
So again, you know, thank you. Thank you, Karen Copeland.
Thanks,
Dominic,
Maureen.
You did a nice job today. And to everyone out there, thank you so much for listening to Cocktails and Conversation. This is Maureen Moore. Thanks. Goodbye.